We give you thanks and praise that there is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. We pray now that you would meet with us. We pray that you would have your way in our hearts and lives. We pray that in this new year that we might live in such a way that you get all the honor and glory. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Hymn number 374. Number 374. We can't very well sing Standing on the Promises while you're sitting on the premises, so let's all stand together. 374. And voices together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Remember Chad and Abel in your prayers. Thank you. Thank you. Remember Rebecca and Chalmers and their dad in your prayers, if you would, please. Remember all of those that were affected by the storms, both last week and last night. It wouldn't be so bad. Well, it's going to be bad anyway, but having cold weather come in behind, it's going to make it even worse on them. So do keep them in your prayers and do look for ways that each one of us can participate in ministering to them in this time of need. Any others? The choir prayer chorus this morning pretty well says it all. We don't know what 2022 is going to hold. But we do know who's holding 2022, though. The song says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. On page 12 is the prayer of confession and pardon. As we prepare our hearts to join together at the Lord's table this morning, I invite you to join with us. It's on page 12. It's also on the screen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, on this first Sunday of a brand new year, we give you thanks and praise for getting us through 2021. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, that we know that your grace will be sufficient for us in 2022. We don't know what today holds, what this week holds, what this year holds. But Lord, we just place our hand in yours in simple childlike faith, believing that as a family of God, ultimately we are going to be victorious, no matter what. We pray this morning, Lord, that you be with all of those who have been afflicted with COVID. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with Chad and Abel. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with the rest of our church family, with Mary Ann and all of the others who are going through difficult times. We pray for your healing hand to be upon them. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with all of your children everywhere hundreds of thousands of people who are suffering now from this virus. Lord, it's not a matter of being afraid. It's a matter of our trusting you and our using common sense. Help us, Lord, to do those things that we need to do to keep ourselves and others safe. Help us to not be alarmed by the fear mongers. Help us, Lord, that we might dare to trust you. We pray today that you'd be with all of those who are suffering the ravages of nature. Comfort and strengthen our hearts, Lord, during this very difficult time. Be with our troops all over the globe, wherever they may be, Lord. We pray that you'd watch over them and keep them safe. We pray that you'd be with their families. This has been a difficult time to be separated. We just pray now that you would draw them in close to you. May they feel your presence and your strength. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with our leaders. Lord, we are called to be one nation under God. We pray that you would remind our leaders and remind each one of us, Lord, that it is in God we trust. May we not settle for anything less than that. May we not get our eyes upon power, upon money, on praise, or anything else. May we dare to follow you and do your bidding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of these years when you've watched over Rockwood United Methodist Church, for all of the hundreds of people who have come through here who have made a difference, for those who have labored so faithfully down through the years, for those who have given so faithfully. We just pray now, Lord, that you'd help us, that we might dare to trust you to continue meeting the needs of your church and your people. And we'll give you all of the praise, for we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Again, may I remind you that the offering receptacles are at either door. We appreciate your faithfulness in giving, especially through these very difficult 2 years that we've just been through. Remember to place your offering in there as you go out, that we might continue to do the work that God has called us to do. standing. No, never mind. It's the book of Romans this morning. You may be seated.
Today's scripture is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 16. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One of the choir members this morning asked me if I was up at midnight Friday night, and I mentioned to them that I was, and then as soon as I got done in the bathroom, I went back to bed. I woke up from all the fireworks and the guns that were going off, and I figured, well, this is as good a time as any. But here we are in a brand new year, 2022. I wasn't sure about 2020. I was less sure about 2021. And I'm not too sure either about 2022. But I am confident because of whose I am that in spite of what kind of year it is, it's going to be a good year. Here we are in a brand new year with somewhere around 8,766 brand new hours. Maybe it's 8,760. Check me out if you would. How are you going to use them? Every second of every minute of every hour of every day belongs to God. In that time, in our lives, in our actions, in our reactions, we should seek to honor God. I have often said that if half the churches did half of what God has called them to do, we wouldn't be having hardly any of the problems that we're having now with hunger and homelessness and all of these other things that are going on that shouldn't be. You know, it used to be that when somebody was homeless, when somebody was hungry, when there was a widow or children that needed help, it wasn't the government that did it. It was the churches. And down through the years, when the church kind of dropped the ball, the government picked it up, and you know what a wreck that can be. Suppose with me this morning, suppose that every Christian gave 10% of their time to God. 10% may be kind of high. Let's make it 2%. If everyone who professes to be a Christian gave 2% of their time to God, that means every week, every one of us would be giving 3 hours to the work of God, and that doesn't count Sunday morning. Okay? Because Sunday morning, we are preparing ourselves to live for God the rest of the week. If we were to give 3 hours a week for God and God's work and to reach God's people, it would change our church. It would change Rockwood. It would change Tennessee. You know what? It would probably even eventually change Washington, D.C. This morning, we're going to take it a little bit easy on you. I realize that getting through Christmas and getting past New Year's Eve can be a strain on some of us not so young folks. So we're not going to discuss quantitative existentialism or any deep theological truths this morning. But I still want to share with you what the Bible says for you and me in this new year. I've shared with you that about the gentleman that had been in the church for 70 years. A man was talking to him. He says, "Boy," he says, "I'll bet in 70 years you've seen a lot of changes, haven't you?" The man said, "Yes, I have, and I was against every one of them." Well, folks, we all want to hang on to the status quo. We don't like for things to vacillate or change. But things do change. People do change. Churches do change. Pastors do change. And the world changes. I want you to think with me for a few moments. We're going to think back about 120 years. About the time my dad was starting school. Talk about changes. Do you realize back then the average life expectancy for men was 47 years? Got a couple here that don't have to worry about that yet. The average life expectancy for women was 50 years. Only 14% of U.S. homes had a bathtub. Only 8% of homes had a telephone. I think I could live with that. I mean, I grew up with a rotary dial party line phone, but we still had a phone. The average salary back then was $450 per year. That was for 9 hours a day, 6 days a week, and that means it's at least a 54-hour week, and that figures out to be somewhere around 16 cents per hour. The cost for a three-minute phone call from New York to Denver was $11, and that's almost 3 days' wages back then. How much do you think it'd cost me to call Denver this morning?
Nothing.
My, how times have changed. Do you realize that back then there were only 8,000 cars in the United States and only 144 miles of paved roads? The maximum speed limit in most cities was 10 miles per hour. Alabama, Mississippi, Iowa, and Tennessee were each more heavily populated than California. With just 1.4 million residents, California was the 21st most populous state in the Union. At the rate people are leaving California now, it may be back to that ranking before too long. The tallest structure in the world 120 years ago was the Eiffel Tower. More than 95% of all births in the United States took place at home. How many of y'all were born at home? I've got a couple takers, okay. I was born in 1943 in the same house that my mother was born in 1913. You ain't gonna find that too much anymore. 90% of all U.S. physicians had no college education. Instead, they attended medical schools, most of which were ranked as substandard. Sugar was 4 cents a pound, eggs were 14 cents a dozen, coffee was 15 cents a pound. Most women washed their hair only once a month. And that was using either borax or egg yolks for shampoo. Just think how much time that would give you. No, I'm going to get in trouble if I say that. Never mind. Okay. With all the commentary we've got today on the border situation, do you realize that almost 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago, Canada passed legislation that no poor people were allowed into Canada for any reason? The American flag then had 45 stars. Arizona, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Alaska, and Hawaii had not yet become states. The population of Las Vegas, Nevada was 30. Not much more than what we got here this morning. Crossword puzzles, canned beer, and iced tea had not yet been invented. There was no Mother's Day or Father's Day. 10% of all adults in the United States could not read or write. Only 6% of adults had graduated from high school. Coca-Cola contained cocaine. Marijuana, heroin, and morphine were all available over the counter at corner drugstores. According to one pharmacist, heroin clears the complexion, gives buoyancy to the mind, regulates the stomach and the bowels, and is, in fact, a perfect guardian of health. How times change. 20% of U.S. households had one full-time servant or domestic. 120 years ago, there were only 230 reported murders in the entire United States of America. Last year in Chicago, there were 797. Last year in the United States of America, there were over 20,000. Now, probably not a single one of those persons was killed by a gun. A lot of them were killed by people that had guns. Then all the other ways they did it too. But 20,000 people died last year. Can you imagine what it could be like in 100 years? Another 100 years? Let's bring it up a little bit. Instead of 120 years ago, let's think back to 1961. These comments were made about the time that I graduated from high school. At this rate, it'll be impossible to buy a week's groceries for $20. In 1958, I worked in a supermarket, a grocery store down in Florida, making 65 cents an hour. A lady from our church came in. She bought $45 worth of groceries and filled 6 shopping carts. Nowadays, you get $45 worth, and they say, do you want that in a paper bag or a plastic bag? No, I take it back. They don't do that because you're probably checking out yourself, okay? But you know how far that would go. Somebody said if they raise the minimum wage to $1, nobody will be able to hire any help. When I started driving, who would have thought that gas would go all the way up to 25 cents a gallon? You ain't seen nothing yet. Kids today are hard to understand. Ducktail haircuts make it impossible to stay groomed. Next thing you know, boys will be wearing their hair as long as girls. You know, when I was in high school, maybe it's just that my eyesight was better then, but from 100 yards away, I could tell you if it was a guy or a girl. Now I've come to that point in my life where I could be standing right beside him and I'm not always real sure. Somebody said, some scientists say we can put a man on the moon by the end of the century. That was in the early 1960s, mind you. Over in England, there was a man that made a bet with a bookie. The bookie gave him 10,000 to 1 odds that nobody would be on the moon before the end of the 1960s. The man made a $2 bet. In 1969, he collected $20,000. Somebody said a baseball player signed a contract for $75,000 a year to play ball. Pretty soon, athletes would be making more money than the president. I never thought I'd see the day when all of our kitchen appliances would be electric. Now they're even making electric typewriters. Things are so tough that some wives will have to work to make ends meet. It won't be long before young couples will have to hire someone to watch their children so they can both work. Thank goodness I won't live to see the day when the government takes half of our income for taxes. Drive-in restaurants are convenient, but they will never catch on. When I was 14 years old, I saw my first McDonald's. Their sign said over 300,000 sold. Now, over 20 years ago, they stopped counting, but I understand now that it's somewhere around 300 billion hamburgers served. Divide those up among all the people in the world, and that's about 40 hamburgers each. But probably at least 90 or 95% of the people in the world have never had a McDonald's hamburger. Do you realize how many that means that we have eaten? Quite a few. Somebody said traveling nowadays is expensive. It costs $15 a night to stay in a hotel. You remember Motel 6? They got their name because their rooms were $666 a night. Motel 8, Super 8, $888 a night for a room. Who can afford to be sick? Can you imagine $15 a day for a hospital room? No, I can't. Not today. In the early 60s, I bought a health insurance policy that covered $15 a day for a semi-private room. And that was a going rate. It covered the whole thing. Back in 1990, my dad went in the hospital one morning to get a new battery put in his pacemaker. Okay, just a battery. Pacemaker's already there. Just put the battery in. Went in that morning, home that afternoon, 30 years ago, $10,000. 2 months ago, Catherine had foot surgery. In the morning, out by lunchtime, $14,000. Where are we going with all this? Well, whether we like it or not, times are changing. And it doesn't matter where in the world we are on the seniority ladder. I hope you realize that every day there are more and more people in this world younger than we are, and fewer people older than we are. You get the idea, we're moving up the ladder. But no matter where we are on that seniority ladder, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Christians at Rome, gives us some secrets to help us to cope with all of the changes that will come. He gives us advice to enable us to be more of what God wants us to be in 2022. Look at these truths from our scripture this morning. First of all, Paul says that we should be honest. Verse 9. Don't just pretend that you love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, stand on the side of good. Be loving, verse 10. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Think about this in our families, at work, in politics. in our relations with other countries? Think what would happen if this Christian nation would behave this way. Verse 11, be involved in kingdom building. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Verse 12, be patient and prayerful. Be glad for all that God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and always be prayerful. Verse 13, be hospitable. When God's children are in need, be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner. Now, I realize, especially in this day and age, that may be a little bit difficult to do. Take them out for dinner. That works. I believe that more people are one to the Lord and become a part of the church because of fellowship evangelism than any other reason. I could stand up here and preach for an hour and a half. I could jump the pews and I could holler and scream and all of that. Probably wouldn't get anybody in except curiosity. On the other hand, you folks could take somebody out for a cheap lunch, have some time of fellowship with them, and there's a pretty good chance they would become a part of our church. You've heard me say that somewhere between 3 and 5% of people start coming to church because of the one that's up here in the pulpit, but something more like 95% of those people start coming to church because a friend or relative invited them. People are looking for friends. A number of years ago, talk about being hospitable. When I was in college up in Illinois, I was in a music store one day and I was talking with the manager. We were just chatting away. A lady came up and joined in the conversation and she mentioned something about Florida. I said, what part of Florida are you from? And she says, Winter Haven. I said, well, that's only 5 miles from where I went to high school and where my parents live. She said, I went to Auburndale High School. And she said, well, you know what's funny? She said, last Sunday, we decided to go to somewhere else to church. And so we were just driving around and we ended up in Auburndale and we went to the Methodist church there. And she said, you know what? She said, a couple that we've never even ever met before invited us to their house for lunch. I said, what was their name? She thought a minute and said, well, how can I forget? Their name was Lord. A week later, 1,200 miles away, I found out that hospitality was being practiced in Central Florida. She didn't say a thing about the preacher and the sermon that he preached that Sunday, but she did say something about the hospitality. Verse 14, be forgiving. If people persecute you because you're a Christian, don't curse him or her. Pray for them that God will bless them. Number 7, be humble. Verse 16, when others are happy, be happy with them. If they're sad, share their sorrow. Live in harmony with each other. Don't try to act important, but enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think that you know it all. You've heard me say that I finished college when I was 28. I got my master's when I was 50. I got my doctoral degree when I was 54. Took me a year and a half short of a half a century to finish my formal education. And I shared with somebody shortly after my final graduation. I said, you know, really, all of that time and all of that effort and all of those tests and all of those papers, all that it really did for me was to teach me how little I really know. We don't necessarily learn too much from life, except what we don't know. Orrin Crane wrote something that I found interesting, especially for the first Sunday of a new year. He entitled it, "Slow Me Down, Lord." Slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart by quieting my mind. Steady my hurried pace with a vision of the eternal reach of time. Give me, amid the confusion of the day, a calmness of the everlasting hills. Break the tension of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, slowing down to look at a flower, to chat with a friend, to pet a dog, to smile at a child, to read a page or two from a good book. Slow me down, Lord, and inspire me to send my roots deep into the soil of life's enduring values, that I may grow toward my greater destiny. Remind me each day that the race is not always to the swift, that there's more to life than increasing its speed. Let me look toward the towering oak and know that it grew great and strong because it grew slowly and well. Someone said, when you're feeling insignificant and your accomplishments seem few, remember that that mighty oak tree was once a little nut like you. Oh well. The question we should ask in closing is, as children of God, what does God really think of me? How can my life better reflect whose I am? This is the thing that makes sin so deadly. It destroys or distorts the image of God within us. Essentially, when we sin, we are bearing false witness about who God is. People look at us and say, well, if that's what God is like, forget it. The only time some people are going to see God is through us. The only Bible some people are going to read is in us. There's a chorus that we used to sing in church quite often. It says, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone each step of the pilgrim way, just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what his will commands, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, if we are in Jesus Christ, we're a new creation. Not just a new year, we're a new creation. God is in control, my friends. Know that in 2022, ain't nothing gonna happen that us and God together can't handle. In your life, your health, your resources, or lack of, in our church. This isn't your church. This isn't my church. This is God's church. If we do our part, then God has an obligation to do his part. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Okay, God, I'll do my part. Wouldn't it be exciting if we dared to trust God for that? We come to that time when we gather at the Lord's table. It's been an interesting time of transition. As we see the whole world turned upside down because of COVID. For a long time, churches were closed. Then when they opened, they had these little communion cups with adult-proof caps that you couldn't peel open no matter what. It was exciting for me, Christmas Eve, I thought we had a beautiful service and a beautiful spirit and a beautiful congregation. It was exciting for me for us to be able to receive communion in much the way that we used to. We're going to again this morning. However, we want to be discreet about it. We want to be cautious. We don't want to put anybody in harm's way. So in just a few moments, what I'd like to ask, I'll ask you to come forward. Catherine is going to help me to serve. You will come forward, and as you come down, you will take a wafer, and then either go to the left or the right, down toward the end, spaced out as much as you can be, either side by side or front and back, whatever it is. I think there's enough room for everybody down here without too many people getting too close. And you will have received the bread, and we'll wait till everybody receives it. And then just like supper time at home, we will all eat together. Then I'll come down the line with a cup. You'll hold the cup. When the time comes, we will all take together. If there's anyone who can't come down, who can't stand, either you're invited to sit on the front pew down here, or if you want to be served at your seat, we'll be more than happy to do that, okay? So don't you worry about it. We want everybody to be able to be included in this. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. When he had blessed it, he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Likewise, we're told that that same night, when they had finished the meal, he took the cup. He gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the remission of sins. Take and drink ye all of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for these gifts of the vine and of the bread. We pray now that you would make them be for us the body of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Lord, you've heard our prayer of confession and pardon. You know our hearts. We're not here this morning because of who we are. We are here because of who you are. Because you, through your grace, sent your Son to be born in the Bethlehem manger, to live among us, to die on Calvary's cross, to shed his blood, that we might be free from that burden of sin. We now come around your table to celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen. Just dump them in there. Dump them in the basket. Okay. The table is open. I invite you to come. Come down, receive your bread, and then part left and right. The same night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. When he had blessed it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat ye all of it." You may kneel if you wish, you may stand if you wish, wherever there's adequate room. Body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which was given for you. Well, this is great. We've got more people than I anticipated. Wonderful. Jesus said, "This is my body. Take and eat in remembrance of me." That same night, Jesus took the cup. When he had blessed it, he gave it to the disciples. He said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the remission of sins." The songwriter said, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." That night, Jesus took the cup. When he had blessed it, he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the remission of sins. Take and drink." The blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which was given for you, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the remission of sins. Take and drink ye all of it in remembrance of me." We're told in the scriptures that in that upper room that night, after they had celebrated the Lord's Supper together, they sang a hymn and they went out. You may be seated. We're going to sing a hymn and then we're going to go out, okay? In fact, the words are right here. Y'all can stand right there if you want. I keep forgetting we've got it up here, and as soon as Keith gets back there, you'll have it. We're going to sing that song that perhaps you sang it even in Methodist youth or wherever you went to church when you were a teenager. "God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again."
Oh, love's banner floating for you. Spread desperately
now, as a family of God, congratulations, you made it through 2021. And congratulations again, you're going to make it through 2022, one way or the other. God's blessing be on you. Go out into this world to share God's love and grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.